But for now, what we want to do is we want to celebrate Sanctity of Life Sunday, as Paul alluded to earlier. And in order to do that, I'd like to invite Shadia Harishi up and share with us a story. Shadia is not part of our congregation. She's part of another church. But Judy and I heard her speak at a community pregnancy center banquet last year. And we both had the sense that we were on sacred ground as we heard that story. And we both thought that it would be a wonderful experience for our church to hear her story on Sanctity of Life Sunday. So Shadia, would you please come up and share with us? And as a reminder, he is the God of the living, not the God of the dead, meaning that the dead aren't dead and gone.
Good morning. A friend of mine told me recently that there's a difference between receiving God's forgiveness and finding his healing. I was 30 years old when I heard the gospel, and I received God's forgiveness at that time for all my sin, including an abortion I had as a teenager. Over the following 10 years, I grew and matured in my faith, experiencing God's love and joy, even during difficult times. I often shared my testimony, and I even led some others to Christ. A friend of mine who knew my past began encouraging me to attend a post-abortion recovery program through the local community pregnancy center. For 3 years, she invited me each time one of the retreats would come up, and for 3 years, I resisted. Wasn't I already forgiven? Finally, God's voice broke through. Deep inside, I knew, I think I've always known, that I needed to let God touch that secret wound in my heart that I had kept buried for so long. So reluctantly, I signed up for the retreat. And at church, about a month beforehand, another friend of mine, who I had known went to a similar program years before, I kind of pulled her aside and said, I signed up for the recovery program, and I'm wondering if there's anything you can tell me ahead of time, you know, to make it a little bit easier, anything you can tell me. And she said something I never expected. She said, you'll be asked to give your child a name. And I had never heard anything like that before. And after a few days, I finally settled in my heart that that's what I needed to do. I realized that giving a child a name is something only a parent can do. I went on the internet and I started looking up names. Somehow, I knew my child was a girl. I don't know how, I just knew. And I started looking up names, and a name came up on the screen that struck me. The name was Anamika, and the reason it struck me because the meaning of it, of that name, is nameless. And it broke my heart when I asked myself without even thinking, who could name their child nameless? And I realized I did. And that's when God spoke to me, and he said, Shadia, now it's time. You're going to give your child a new name. And I knew God was with me in this. I went to the retreat, and the ladies that were in this particular group, there was about 8 or 10 of us, we each were asked to go around the little table and share a little bit about ourselves and also how long ago it had been when we each had our abortion or abortions. For most of the ladies, it was 5 years, maybe 8 or 9. When it came to my turn, I had to confess it had been 25 years earlier. And we all realized right then and there, time did not heal these wounds. Halfway through the weekend retreat, I started to see some of the other ladies change. I started to see God working in their hearts, but it wasn't working for me. And I began to wonder if I had waited too long and if it was just too late. Near the end of the retreat, we were asked to each spend some time alone with God find out one thing you wanted to ask God, one wish that you could ask God. I went outside and sat by myself. And before my mind could clear, before I could clear my mind to figure out what to ask, a battle began in my head. All these questions from years and years and years before began resurfacing. Accusations and questions like, you know, why didn't you ever want to have children? Why were you uncomfortable around babies? why, when your own childhood memories would surface, joyful memories with my mother, as nice things she did for me as a kid, I would always suppress those memories because an accuser would come. This was before I even knew the Lord, would come into my mind whenever those memories came up saying, "You'll never be a good mother. You can never do that." And I would suppress my own childhood memories because of this sin. And I realized in this battle that Satan stole not only my child, he stole my sense of self-worth and even the joy of my own childhood memories. And he had no right to do any of that. I pictured my heart at that moment as dark, rotted, and small. And that's when I knew what I wanted from my wish. When we returned to the conference room, and it was my turn to go before the Lord and surrender my burdens to him and ask for my wish, I went to God and closed my eyes and knelt down, and I told God I wanted a new heart. I knew mine was broken. It wasn't my salvation that was in question. There was a part of my heart that just had not been touched. And it was the part of my heart that enabled me, or at that time, prevented me from fully loving any other person. I didn't have the capacity, and I knew I needed to be healed. That's when I had a vision. I was standing in heaven, and I saw God walk towards me. And he had in his hands what looked like a tray with a spiritual heart, for I don't know how really to describe it, but I knew it was a heart. I knew it was the part of a heart that only God can see in a person. And I dared to believe God had answered my prayer. But just then he stopped. And my heart skipped a beat. And I thought, he changed his mind. He decided probably I wasn't worthy after all. And I looked up again, and he turned to his side, and there was a little girl standing there. And he reached down to hand this gift to her, and my eyes slammed shut, and I thought, this isn't fair. Is this her? Does she know what I did? Can she ever forgive me? When I opened up my eyes again, she was standing right in front of me, joyfully, smiling, holding up this gift, offering me a new heart. She never said a word. There was no accusations, no condemnation, no judgment, no grief, no questions, just a gift. I closed my eyes. I knew I had just met my little girl. When I opened my eyes again, I was back in the conference room. And I understand now that only when God enabled me to release from this prison in my heart where I had kept my child buried for so long, when I was able to release her, a part of me was released as well. And I was free. Today, I no longer live in shame. I look forward to seeing my daughter again in heaven. I'm not afraid to talk about it. God has given me the joy to share my story with you and with others. I'm still somewhat uncomfortable with children, but now it's due to a lack of experience more than anything else. But the most important thing God has given me is that there is a child in this world, in heaven, who's no longer nameless. My child. Today her name is Amanda. I've named her that because Amanda means worthy of love.